Okay, tonight is the is the last shiur for now. Bezat Hashem, we'll see what happens after Hanukkah. Maybe we'll start another five times, but this is for now. When we talk about Halachot Shabbat, the rest of the Halachot Shabbat we didn't talk last week, which is Bishul, Bored, preparation, food for Shabbos, and all that. First of all, in order to cook for Shabbat, we have to understand three things. One is Bishul, cooking has nothing to do with lighting. Lighting fire is one issur on Shabbat, and cooking is a different issur. It's nothing to do with each other. Two completely separate issurim. A lot of people think that the reason you are not allowed to cook is only because you have to create a fire. But if the fire is already there, you are allowed to cook. It's not true. Therefore, even if there is a fire there, the fire is ready and empty, and then set for Shabbat, you are not allowed to cook on Shabbat. Now, the other two things that we need to understand in order to understand Al-Khut Bishul properly is Al-Khab Sheheya and Chazara. Sheya is to leave the food before Shabbat and leave it there until you pick it up from the fire. Chazara means that you return the food on top of the fire or inside the oven or on top of the blech or the warmer or anything like that on Shabbat. These three things we need to understand in order to understand the halachot of Bishul properly. Sheya. Shinha, hey. Okay. If somebody cook, first of all, the minhag is, the custom is, that every food has to be cooked completely before Shabbat. That's the minhag is right. Even though according to halacha, there are certain leeways that you don't have to cook, or certain food does not have to be cooked completely before Shabbat, but the minhag is, the custom is, that all the foods basically are cooked before Shabbat, and you have to leave it that way in order to avoid problems. If the cook is not completely, if food is not completely cooked before Shabbat, then you get into a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and a lot of leeways that you have to rely on. Therefore, in order to have to be safe, make sure your food, your cholent, also is edible before Shabbat, in order not to have problems. Now, let's say Shabbat morning, you get up and you want to warm your chicken, or rice, or couscous, or anything like that. If the food is completely was cooked before Shabbat, and it's cold now, let's say you serve your chicken Friday night, you want to serve them Shabbat morning also. Now, you are allowed to take that chicken out of the refrigerator and put it on top of pleta chashmalit. In Israel, that is pleta. You see it? In America, what they have is the hot plate. The hot plate and pleta is two different things. The reason is, pleta has no setting. There's only one temperature. You hook it in before Shabbat, and it stays like that. Hot plate, they have different settings, and you could make it higher or lower. That you are not allowed to use on Shabbat. The pleta that they have in Israel, because there's only one temperature, one setting, you are allowed to use that on Shabbat. Therefore, you are allowed to take the food out of the refrigerator and put it on top of this plate on Shabbat. But that's only if the food is completely dry. If there is any liquid, right, inside that food, then according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, you are not allowed to warm it on Shabbat. Now, if you have chicken, a lot of chickens have gravy. You have meat, there's gravy on it. Every type of food that you have is a little bit of gravy on top of them. That's not a problem. You are allowed to warm them. But if the gravy is sitting under the chicken or under the meat, then you should not warm them on Shabbat. If you have a challah or a bread, which is frozen challah, and you want to use it for Shabbat, you are also allowed to put it on top of this pleta to make them ready, to make them edible for Shabbat. But before you put it on, if there is a ice, if there is a piece of ice sitting on top of the bread, you should shake them off before you put them on top of the platter to make it edible for Shabbat. We have a rule. The rule is en bishul achar bishul, en afiyah achar bishul, which means that once the food is cooked, you cannot cook it again. Once something is baked, you cannot cook it again or you cannot bake it again. But because of this, there is a lot of leeways that we have that we could use it on Shabbat. For instance, if you have, let's say, you have a very warm soup, very hot soup for Friday night, and you want to put a piece of bread inside the soup, you are allowed to do that on Shabbat. Even inside the pot, you are allowed to do it because the bread was baked, and the soup is so hot that it might cook something else, but because the bread was baked already, en afiyah achar bishul. Therefore, en afiyah achar afiyah bishul achar bishul. Because of that, you are allowed to put that piece of bread inside your soup on Friday night or Shabbat. Now, using instant coffee is a different. There is a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. If you are allowed to use instant coffee on Shabbat or Turkish coffee on Shabbat, the reason is because there is a machloket machaber and rama of the coffees are kalui, is not cooked or is not baked. It's kalui. Kalui is roasted. That's right. The coffee is roasted. According to Mechaber, there is not a problem. According to Rama, yesh bishul achar kalui. In other words, once something is roasted, you are able to cook it again. Therefore, according to Ashkenazim, if you want to drink instant coffee, first you should pour water, then put instant coffee inside the water. Sephardim, if they want to make instant coffee, they are allowed to put instant coffee, then pour water on top of that. That's the difference. You are allowed to have instant coffee. But how to prepare it, how to make it, that's the difference. But Rav Obadiah Yosef says, even Sephardim should be machmir, that they should not pour instant coffee inside the water, and they should not pour water inside instant coffee. You should do it like everybody else. Have water, then pour instant coffee inside the water. Now, making tea on Shabbat. Making tea on Shabbat is also a problem, because every tea bag that we use is a problem of bishul with them. Therefore, one is not allowed to use a tea bag on Shabbat. But how do you, what do you do if somebody wants to have a tea? There are three different ways you could have a tea on Shabbat. Either use instant tea, or TSN, you make the tea before Shabbat, very strong tea, and pour a little bit inside the water and have a tea like that way. Or you could use a tea bag on Kli Shlishi, the third Keli. You are allowed to have a tea bag. What is Kli Shlishi means? The hot water urn is considered Keli Rishon. You pour water from that to a cup, that's Kli Sheni. From that cup to another cup, that's considered Kli Shlishi. That, even though that the water is very hot, still you are allowed to put the tea bag inside that Kli Shlishi, and it's not a problem. Now, the question that a lot of people asked was, are you allowed to take the tea bag out because of Sheila Borer? You are not allowed to separate bad from good. That when you take your tea bag out of the tea, you are separating bad from good. But you are allowed to do that because the tea bag is already separated, so big, inside the water, is never mixed up. In other words, the water is here, the tea bag is here, you put it together, tea bag is already separated, you are allowed to take the tea bag out of the water. Now, if somebody wants to use a TSN on Shabbat, the problem is, the TSN was made before Shabbat and it's cold. If it's cold, then you have to have the hot water first, then you pour the TSN inside the hot water. But if your TSN is already hot, is already put on, let's say you leave your TSN on top of your cholent pot and it stays out all Shabbat, then it doesn't matter which one you put first or second, could have hot water first or TSN second, that doesn't make any difference, you could do it either way. You know, a lot of people have, they pour either lemon or mint inside their tea. In Israel, if anybody wants to have a tea, they have a tea. They decide, ale minta. They take this leaves, the mint leaves, and put inside their tea. Everybody drinks it that way. You are allowed to put that leaves also inside your tea, even though the teas they had and leaves are not cooked before Shabbat, you're still allowed to put it inside your tea on Shabbat. Now, putting lemon inside your tea, that is a problem. The problem is, because it is a liquid, a little bit liquid in there, you should be machmir and not put lemon inside your tea on Shabbat. As long if your tea is hayat soledebo. What is considered yad soledebo? What is the shiur of yad soledebo? Shiur of yad soledebo means, I'm making it very simple, if you cannot drink it because it's so hot, it's considered yad soledebo. If you are able to drink it, then it's not considered yad soledebo. Therefore, a lot of halachot with bishul adding things on Shabbat to the food has to do with yad soledet, but therefore the shur is, if you take a cup of water or cup of tea, if you are able to drink it without cooling it off or without putting it out to leave it for a while to cool off, that is considered yad soledet. Otherwise, there's nothing wrong, it's considered cold and you could do whatever you want. Now, adding spices to your food on Shabbat, you are not allowed to add spices on the keli rishon. In other words, if you have a soup, your soup is on top of the blech, you want to add salt or pepper on them, you are not allowed to do it while the soup is sitting on top of the blech. But once it's taken away from the blech, you are allowed to add spices, salt or pepper to them, even though that the soup is yet soledet bo. It's not a problem. Now, returning food to your, but let's say Friday night, you want to have a taste of your cholent, and take the cholent off the blech, and you want to take a little bit of it or any other food and want to return it back. Now, this is a very complicated situation, because there's a machloket, there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, number one. Number two, you have to be careful where you put your pot. Now, in order to do that, first of all, the food has to be completely cooked. Number two, you cannot put the pot anywhere that is attached to the floor. In other words, you cannot put it on top of your kitchen counter, you cannot put it on the floor, you cannot put it on top of your sink, any place like that, you are not allowed to do that if you just leave it up. But if you leave it there and your hands are holding to it, then you are allowed to do that. But according to Sephardim, you are allowed to put it on a chair, on a table, or anything like that, and you don't even have to have your hands holding it. Just put it there, take the food out, and then after you finish with them, put it back, as long as the food is completely cooked, that's it, as long as the food is completely cooked. Now, if you, the Ashkenazim also, they have to have in mind, once they take it out, they have to have in mind that they want to return it back. The Sephardim, they don't have to even have in mind. And those, let's say you take it out, later on, you decide, you know what, I want to put it back. As long as you put it on a table, on a chair, you are allowed to put it back, even though they didn't have in mind to return the food on top of the blech.
Put it down on the table,
not
towel or something?
Not Ashkenazim, no. As long as holding it, yes. Okay. The Sephardim don't have to hold it either. Okay? Now, using an oven on Shabbat. What's the halacha regarding using an oven on Shabbat? That also, there's a few things we need to understand. First of all, there's so many different ovens are out there. A lot of ovens, that when you open the door, the cold weather goes in, cold air goes in, and it starts a thermostat. Then we have a problem. Now, if we are dealing with the old ovens that you see the light, you know that the fire is on, I'm talking about those types of ovens. If you have that type of oven, then you are allowed to use it on Shabbat. As long as you have a blech inside the oven, or if you don't want to put a blech, you cover the knobs before Shabbat. If you cover your knobs, and you put the food inside your oven, and once the light is on, you open the door, take your foods out, then it's not a problem. You are allowed to use your oven on Shabbat also. But if you don't have an oven that the light goes on, and once you open the door, the cold air goes in, and turns on the fire again, that type of ovens, you are not allowed to use them on Shabbat. Okay. Now, this is one part of cooking on Shabbat. That's one part of preparation for Shabbat. Now, I want to talk about different things. Very in summary of certain halachot, which is also has to do with preparation and cooking. And then Bezat Hashem, in the end, we're going to ask, let's take some questions. Now, if you have young children and you want to give them banana or different types of vegetables that they are cooked, but you have smashed them for them, you are allowed to do that as long as you are going to give it to them right away. This halacha of right away on Shabbat is very important. Whenever I say right away, that means within half an hour. Anything more than half an hour, then is a problem. Now, making egg salad Shabbat morning with mayonnaise, right? That also, you are allowed to do that if you're doing it within half an hour of eating them. It's more than half an hour, you are not allowed to make egg salad with mayonnaise on Shabbat. The reason is because al-khaf lisha, lash, when you have few different pieces that through this mayonnaise, everything becomes one, is asur to do it on Shabbat, if it's not for the surah of the Sauda. But the surah of the Sauda has to be right away. If it's later on, you're not allowed to do that. But let's say you have big pieces of vegetables. Let's say you have potatoes and tomatoes and cucumbers and everything put in one bowl, and you're putting mayonnaise in them, and through the mayonnaise, all of them, they're going to be in one thing. You are allowed to do that, even though you are not going to eat them right away. You're going to eat them later. You are allowed to. But the egg salad, because it's small pieces, with the mayonnaise, they become one object, that you are not allowed to do that, only if it's close to the Saudat, then you are allowed to do that. One is allowed to add salt or lemon on top of a salad on Shabbat. It's not a problem. But again, there has to be l'altar, it has to be right away that you are going to eat the salad right away. Now, making Israeli salad on Shabbat. Israeli salad is you take every vegetable and cut them to very, very small pieces. You are allowed to do that only if you are going to make it within half an hour of eating them. You are not allowed to get up early in the morning, Shabbos morning, and cut the salad and prepare the salad for later on. But only when you come from shul and you are going to have lunch right away, then you are allowed to make Israeli salad. But if you want to make them before big pieces, right, like American salad, then it's not a problem, you could do that before. But the big Israeli salad, that because it's a small, very small pieces, you have to do it within half an hour. One is allowed to cut meat or chicken or cheese, small pieces on Shabbat, and it doesn't have to be within half an hour either. So let's say you want to cut small pieces, a piece of chicken, let's say, you want to cut them up for your kid. Your child cannot have the whole chicken by itself. You want to make it small pieces for him, you are allowed to do that, and it's not a problem. Now, we have also halacha of borer on Shabbat. Borer is separation from bad from good. That you are not allowed to do on Shabbat. Now, I want to give you three rules that when is borer is asur, and three rules when borer is mutar, and based on these six rules, you decide whatever you want to do is mutar or is asur. Make it very simple here. In order for borer to be as the person be asur, it has to be pesolet min ha'ochel, bad from good, right? Even though that you are doing it with your hand and you have in mind that you are going to eat them right away, is asur. That's number one. Number two, if you are separating a food, even good from bad, right? If you're using a kli, using a utensil that which is made for that, that also is asur, even though that you have in mind to eat them right away. Number three, if you are separating good from bad with your hand, but you don't have in mind to eat them right away, that's also asur on Shabbat. Okay, that's three. Three rules that is mutar. If you are separating good from bad, that has to be separation good from bad. Two, has to be with your hand, not with the kli, not with the utensils which is made for that purpose. And three, it has to be, when you're separating them, you have to have in mind that you are going to eat them within half an hour. These are the six rules in order for a borer to be mutar. Now, this halacha of borer is not only for ochel. It's not only for eating. If you have clothing, you have books, you have utensils, anything, borer could apply to anything and anywhere. Therefore, in order to be mutar, you have to put in cheshbon. You have to think: is all the things that you want to do, Do they fit into these rules that I said in order for them to be mutar? But if it's not, then you are not allowed to do that. Let's say you have a lot of clothing. You took them out of dryer before Shabbat, throw them in a room. Now you want to find your kids' pajamas, right? How are you going to do it? That's also a shell of borer. Once you, the only way you are allowed to do that, again, has to be with your hand and has to be used right away, and you have to use ochel mitoch pesolet, which is the good from that. You have to find where the pajamas are, put your hand in there and take them out. But if you take every other one out and then get to the pajamas, then you did pesolet mitoch ochel, bad from good. You are not allowed to do that. The only way you are allowed to do that, you have to find where the good is. Take the good out. That's the only way it's mutar. Or you have books. Let's say 20 books. You want one of them. You can't go 1, 2, 3, put each one aside and get to the good one. You have to get the good one and leave the bad ones out there. And you have to want to use it right away. You cannot use it 3 hours later. It has to be done within half an hour that you are going to use them. There you see, the halacha borer applies to every situation. Now, the question that really happened, two scenarios happens all the time. One is, if you have water purification at home, you hook them to your sink, are you allowed to use them on Shabbat? Because when you using your faucet, opening your faucet on Shabbat, the water goes through the purification and gets the good out. And it's the kli miyuchad. The utensil was made for this purpose. Are you allowed to use them on Shabbat? Yes, you are allowed to use that because the water is edible. You are allowed to drink. You are able to drink that water before the purification also. In other words, everything that is there is not totally pesolet, is not totally bad. The water is a good water, is a good thing. And therefore you are allowed to drink that water, you are allowed to use your purification on Shabbat, it's not a problem. The other thing is using ladles on Shabbat. The ladles that they have holes in them, and a lot of times people use them for soup. They want to get, let's say they have a chicken soup, they want to get the chicken out. You are not allowed to use that ladles inside the soup to get the chicken out, because once you put that thing in there, again it's a kli, you are separating ochel mitoch besolet and using it right away. But you're using a kli utensil which is made for separation. Those ladles are made for separation. But you are allowed to use that ladle for rice, let's say. You want to have a chicken, you're going to take a chicken out. Or a steak. Anything that is not going to be separation, you are allowed to use that type of ladle for that purpose. But if you are using that ladle for the purpose of separation, then it's assured to use them on Shabbat. Shashalacha Bayru is a Yom Tovah, so same alacha applies for Yom Tov. Yeah, that's fine. Because when you use a different type of spoon, you take everything together. It's not a separation anymore. So you use a flat ladle, it's okay. Okay. Now I want to talk about the different tzatzuim for the children. The different toys that the kids play with them. Which one of them are mutar, which one of them are asur to be used on Shabbat. First of all, as a rule, if you have a kid less than age of bar mitzvah, let them do whatever they want. Let them use any toys, let them play with any toys, don't have to stop them, as long as there's no fire or electricity involved. If they want to do anything that which could be a mukseh, could make noise, anything like that, you don't have to stop them. And they are allowed to use them on Shabbat, and the parent does not have to stop them as long as there's no fire or electricity involved. Then I want to go through different types of toys for adults, which adults, a lot of times the adults have to play with their kids. They want to play with their kids, or they want to play together. Monopoly. Playing with Monopoly on Shabbat, the way Monopoly works, everybody knows that you have to give money. There's fake money in there, and whether you win, you give and take, you're playing with money. You are allowed to use Monopoly, you are allowed to play with Monopoly on Shabbat, even though there is a fake money involved, it's not a problem, it's only a play, and therefore it's mutar. If you have a play, let's say there's a system that the adults play, and they use different wordings or different piece, and they have to make a picture, they have to make it's not exactly puzzle. I'm going to talk about puzzle also, but if you have, let's say you have 10,000 pieces here and you have to put them together and make something.
Blocks.
Right? Blocks could be blocks, right? But in order for this to be mutar, you could only put it next to each other, and you are allowed to do that. But if you have to attach them together and you have to put them inside a hole in order to become complete, that you are not allowed to do on Shabbat. I'm going to talk about logo also. Wait. Now, puzzle, there are some people, some say it's mutar, some say it's asur. The reason, the problem with puzzle is that it goes into a hole, there is a place, they have to put them together in order to make them complete. Therefore, there's a machlok at the poskim. Somebody wants to be maker, you are allowed to be maker. If somebody is doing it, they don't have to, you know, tell them that you are doing something wrong. There are poskim that they could be somecha. Blowing ball or a balloon on Shabbat, one should try not to do that. But again, if somebody does it, it's not a halal Shabbat. It's not violating Shabbat. That also is the same. Yesh matirim, yesh osrim. One should try to be machmir not to do it. playing with shechmat on Shabbat is mutar, it's not a problem, and it's not considered a mukseida. What is that? Shechmat. It's chess in it. Okay, chess. Okay. Playing chess. Chess is mutar, yeah. It's not a problem. Sheleg, playing with snow. Snow is not considered mukseh, even though that it falls on Shabbat, is not considered a mukseh. But it's asur to make a ball or make a doll out of it or anything like that, that you are not allowed to do. But just playing with them is okay, touching them also is okay, it's not considered a mukseh. Blowing whistle on Shabbat. It's not a problem. You are allowed to do that. Or even if using your fingers to blow whistle, that also is mutar. It's not a problem. You are allowed to do that. Okay. Squeezing on Shabbat, that also one is not allowed to do that. The only time you are allowed to do it if you're doing it inside the food. In other words, let's say you have a lemon. You want to squeeze them inside the food, you are allowed to do that, but you can't squeeze a lemon in an empty cup and then add on whatever it is. Let's say you want to make a lemonade. You can't just squeeze lemon inside the empty cup and then add water or sugar after that. What you can do, could have sugar, not water, sugar, squeeze lemon in it, then add water to it. But you can't just add water, then squeeze lemon inside the water. In order to be mutar, it has to be a solid food to be mutar to squeeze the thing in it. If somebody wants to have grapefruit Friday night, right, you are allowed to have a spoon and digging in it and eat them, even though they're squeezing the grapefruit from what it is, that's also mutar. You are allowed to, because that's the derech achila. That's the way people eat grapefruit, and that's okay. If you have a sugar cube that you're putting inside your tea, and you want to smash them inside your tea or coffee, that also is okay. It's not a problem, even though that you are destroying them, that's fine. Or the same halacha applies if somebody put ice inside your soda or water, then you are smashing them to have the ice to become water. That also is fine. It's not a problem. Okay, let's take any questions that you have. I'm going to see if I have more time to talk about that. Yeah.